following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hey, Greeny, I bet working with me makes you feel like a grand prize winner.
Yeah, I'm so lucky, Golic.
Well, now you could win possibly the best grand prize ever, valued at over $55,000 in ESPN Radio's Ultimate Outdoor Giveaway, hooked by Bass Pro Shops.
You could win a two-year lease and a brand-new 2012 Toyota Tundra 4x4, an Arctic Cat 425, and much more.
Plus, the winner also gets to come to Bristol to meet us personally and tour ESPN Studios.
Visit ESPNRadio.com or your local Bass Pro Shops to find out more.
Exxon and Mobil have a little something in our gasoline that can make a big difference for all you drivers out there. Actually, it's smaller than little. It's tiny. Microscopic, even. We're talking about a molecule. A complex molecule that, when added to gasoline, helps remove deposits that build up on your intake valves and helps keep fuel injectors clean. So your car runs cleaner. Smart gasoline. It's just one more way Exxon and Mobil make gasoline work harder for you.
Do you ever get tired of listening to Doug and Daddy talk sports? Do you enjoy singing with your friends? Do you wish you could sing with Doug and Daddy? Like any other pair of Q-list celebrities, Doug and Daddy are going to try to make a little extra money with their own karaoke album. Take a listen to some of their favorites.
So I put my hands up to playing our song, the butterflies fly away.
Well, I had the time of my life. No, I never felt this way before.
Be like it, then you should have put a ring on it. Don't get mad when you've been feeling on it. To the end of the road, teenage dream, the way you turn me on.
Yeah, we don't ever have to play that again.
Come as you are.
Would you quit it?
Yeah, let's stick with sports.
You do realize you made a mistake, right?
Yeah, I kind of feel like the guy that invented tartar sauce.
Who the hell invented tartar sauce?
Merritt, look it up for us, because we don't have a clue.
Well, while I do that, let's go to the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It's a Wednesday, and coming up today, the final day. 12 teams, 12 days, and Tony, as we always do, it's time to talk Nebraska and wrap things up with the Huskers. Steve Sipple, Mike Babcock, Sean Callahan will join us on the program today, and then it is off to Chicago tomorrow and Friday for Big Ten Media Days.
And the excitement, I think the excitement really, really is high this year, Doug. 10-4, people probably a lot disappointed in the way the season ended a year ago. New conference, new breath of fresh air, and everything that happened earlier this week with Big 12 Media Days and how much animosity there was towards Texas. Mike Sherman and his players didn't speak to the Longhorn Network. They refused to. That shows you how warm things are there, and so I think the greetings that we'll receive tomorrow from coaches and players, I don't think anybody will refuse to speak to Nebraska media. I think everybody's happy that we're there. I think everybody's happy for a new football season upon us. I'm interested to see how Chicago embraces Big Ten Media Days with the NFL coming off the lockout that they've had.
Yeah, we talked with Scott Powers of ESPNChicago.com yesterday, and he said, yeah, bad timing. There'll be a blip about this, but it is Chicago. The Bears are back. The NFL is back. And, of course, you got White Sox and Cubs, and so maybe in Chicago it won't play out quite as big.
But, so much Nathan Enderle talk going on.
Oh, it's incredible. It is incredible. Coming up later on in the program today, we'll be hearing from our three guests in the roundtable, and that's coming up in the next segment. Daddy, again, though, you brought up that Longhorn Network. Why would the Longhorn Network go to Big Ten Media Days, and why would Texas talk to the Longhorn Network? They could do that any other time. But you know, without being there, that Texas spent most of their time talking to the Longhorn Network, which was even more television, which was less time for the print and, of course, the radio.
You're exactly right. They want to just throw their weight around, and that's what they do at every Media Days. How many Longhorns did we ever talk to at Big 12 Media Days?
That were worth anything? Not many. We talked to a couple of linemen that were big time, but, you know, you didn't talk to Colt McCoy. You didn't talk to Mack Brown. You didn't talk to, you know, some of the key defensive backs, but so be it. And how long will it be before we quit hating Texas?
I can't see. It's not in the foreseeable future, I don't think.
Here's another thing, fans out there. Is Big Ten Media Day is brought to you by Gary Michaels, Misco Sports, K&K Parts, among the many fine sponsors that are sending us out, along with Bruce Furniture, to Big Ten Media Days. I want to alert the fans that this is the first time that there have been a radio row, or that the Big Ten Media Days has embraced radio. And one of the reasons is because of the Nebraska, supposed Nebraska contingent, and the continued growth of sports talk radio. And that has something to do with our listeners and sports fans throughout the country. And so I guess we say, obviously, thanks for that. But it's going to be new for everybody out there. I'm not sure what to expect. I think it's going to be even crazier than Big 12, because it's jammed into 2 days, but literally it's all jammed into tomorrow. There is some on Friday morning, but Friday they really open it up to the fans, and so you're battling everybody for that. And then that big luncheon is actually going to start while the Doug and Daddy Show is going on Friday.
It's interesting because you go back, I think this is our sixth or seventh media days. I have to go back and look. But the first one we went to in Kansas City.
You just can't count that high, or you just can't remember a couple?
Well, there's a couple, yeah. The little things are foggy. Things are foggy. But you go back to the first one, Doug. We were the first table there. I remember we picked our spot right in the middle of basically a hallway at a convention, at a hotel.
Yeah, we were in
Kansas
City, yeah.
We were in Kansas City. We picked our spot because we're the first one there. I think there were 8 or 9 radio stations the first year.
Yeah.
And last year at Big 12, I think there were 23 or 4.
I was thinking at least that many. At least that many. So it continues to grow, and I can't wait to call James Hale up again and go, "What's going on?"
That's, you know what? We're hoping to meet a lot of people like James Hale. They're just good people, have a good time talking football, and that's what everybody wants to hear.
Well, and we thank and we enjoyed all of the 11 guests that we had on previewing the other 11 teams in the Big Ten Conference, or the, what you'd say, original 10, Penn State, and now Nebraska, here in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth. So we're looking forward to that. And again, we're getting down to the finals in American Legion Baseball. We're going to have Merritt later on in the show tell us how all that is stacked up for today. A great volleyball match last night, and the final thing of the Coaches Association softball is set for tonight. But we don't want to waste a whole lot of time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We do want to give you a chance to listen to what's going on with Steve Sipple, Mike Babcock, and of course Sean Callahan. We're going to get hooked up with those guys here in just a moment. But we remind you that at Midway, they have their all-new Mopar Quick Lube. They've been doing this now for about a month, and it's been going great. Only
in and out.
$29.95. You don't have to make an appointment, and it's done in under 30 minutes. And that doesn't mean they just kind of look at your car, wash the windows, and send you on your way. No, right now it's quality, complete service, saving you time and money, oil change, maintenance inspection, car wash. Don't need the appointment. They'll take you somewhere if you want to leave it there. If you don't want to wait the 30 minutes, that's fine. If not, you can enjoy the wireless internet in their great lounge, television, complimentary cappuccino while you wait. It's at their Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram location. Immediate maintenance service. It's Midway's all-new Mopar Quick Lube. Are you excited?
I'm fired up. It is football season. It begins now on the Doug and Daddy Show.
We'll take a break, and we'll be back to start the Husker Roundtable right after this.
This is the sound of a Yellow Book print ad working for Rincon Vista Veterinary Center.
Drop it.
Ding. And Yellow Book search engine marketing working for their business.
Next.
Ding. And a YellowBook.com online video ad running smoothly.
Ding.
The thing is, with Yellow Book's full spectrum of marketing tools, small businesses like Rincon Vista Veterinary Center can hear the sound of success. Yellow Book 360. Go beyond yellow. Call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit YellowBook360.com today.
Now at CarQuest Auto Parts, save $5 after mail-in rebate when you purchase a pair of ExactFit wiper blades or a twin pack of Philips Vision Plus premium lighting capsules. CarQuest 50-month batteries start at just $49.99 with an exchange and have a 1-year free replacement guarantee. See store for details now through February 2nd at participating CarQuest Auto Parts locations. Great people, great products, great prices.
Roll in to CarQuest and roll on. When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Swimming around underwater, one thing fish find irresistible is live bait. Problem is, their appetite gets them into trouble. On the other hand, fishermen have no trouble buying any kind of bait at the boathouse, many of which aren't stocked by anyone else, including chicken parts and guts, shad, gizzards, crawdads, shrimp, leeches, minnows, and of course, worms. See the boathouse, a mile north of Grand Island on 281, for repair and used boat sales, too. Log on to theboathousegi.com.
12 teams, 12 days, and it all starts like this.
A gun, dice right, yo-yo, scat right, Y-optional, hard, hard.
Hey, Merritt, let me take a stab at that. All right, guys, here we go. New conference, no damn BB, no Bevo, no 11-1 votes, no more, no more, fresh start, let's go, break. It's finally here, 12 teams in 12 days, Legends Division, Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State, Minnesota, the Wildcats of Northwestern, and your Nebraska Cornhuskers. The Leaders Division, the Fighting Illini, Indiana, Ohio State, Penn State, Purdue, and the Wisconsin Badgers. And now the march to Chicago and Big Ten Media Days begins. 12 teams, 12 days, now on the Doug and Daddy Show.
The last of our 12 teams in 12 days, we preview, obviously, the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And as we always like to do, we put together a little roundtable. Steve Sipple.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
Sean Callahan.
Thanks, guys.
And Mike Babcock.
Hey, guys. My pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.
Mike, I want to start, as we've talked, there's been so many off-the-field issues, especially with Ohio State and Wisconsin getting a new quarterback and the changes in the coaching staff at Nebraska that we'll talk about. But you're the historian, as everybody knows, when it comes to Nebraska football. The book's out there. You've covered it as long as anybody really in the state. From a historical perspective, is this the biggest season, most anticipated season in Nebraska football in the last 40 years?
Well, yeah, I'd say it's monumental because of the move to the Big Ten, obviously. And so, you know, you had seasons where coming off a national championship in 1970, and there was all the excitement, you know, going for two and that great 1971. Finally getting over the hump after the 93 season and, you know, looking to win a championship, getting it done in 94, 95, then again in 97, those kinds of things. But those are a kind of here and now type thing. This impacts the history of the program. You know, moving to the Big Ten that way. So, yeah, I would say it's as significant as we've seen in, you know, maybe ever in Nebraska football history.
Sip, well, I'll ask you then, are you more excited about the start of this season than you have been for quite some time?
You know, I'm not surprised Babcock said that. It seems like I get asked that every year. I guess the Big Ten thing is why you say that, but I don't know. There's a lot of anticipation both first season. There's a lot of anticipation every season at Nebraska. And every year I'm asked that. Does it seem like it's a bigger deal this year than it was in past years? I don't know. Every year is big to me. Now, the Big Ten thing adds to it. And obviously, I mean, it goes without saying almost. So, and I guess in that regard, it's more anticipated, but I don't know. Find me a season where there wasn't a lot of anticipation, and maybe you'd have to go back a long way.
Sean, any big recruits? It's always a quiet time of the year right now. Anything on that recruiting side?
It's fairly quiet right now, guys, at five commits. You know, in-state-wise, you know, no names really emerge other than Sam Cotton, and it's kind of one of those years with Nebraska's lack of numbers. You know, they're not jumping on any in-state kids yet, and a lot of people thought Mike Shaw from Cambridge would get an offer, and he just didn't deliver in camp like they thought he was going to, so they decided to hold back on him. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those years with limited numbers. They're not going to just throw out offers left and right. They're being very, very selective, and they're in on some great guys right now.
Sean, I guess we're ready to go to Chicago. Give us some highlights. You were there last year. Give us some highlights, what we should expect when we go there. Nebraska fans could go there, I understand, if they wanted to. What's it like?
Well, it's a different event than the Big 12s in a lot of ways. First of all, you know, the Big 12 would divide it up into 3 days, and, you know, it kind of got to be overkill by the third day. Well, you know, every coach is going to do their dog and pony show official talk up front, and that tends to take up a lot of time, and most of the time it's pretty much coach speak. Well, the Big 10 knocks that all out on the first day. Each coach goes up 15 minutes. Boom, 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 you know, and you're done with all your coaches in 3 hours. So they really move them in and out of that room fast. That's aired on the Big Ten Network live. Then there's a little side room where the players and coaches are going around doing the TV interviews. The commissioner will speak, the Big Ten Network will speak, the head of officials will speak, and that's really the first day. And then the second day, 8 to 10 on Friday morning, each player and each coach sits down for 2 hours. And you can just walk around the room and sit at any table you want, and you can sit down with Joe Paterno and have coffee and interview him. It's pretty well laid out in that respect, because you can literally get to any guy you need a question to get to. And then they kind of kick things off after that with an autograph session for the fans, and then you're able to get a ticket to the lunch if you want to pay for that. And they have a kickoff luncheon with all the players, all the coaches. And to me, it'd be a really cool thing for a fan if you're going to kind of look for something different to do, take a trip to Chicago for the Big Ten Media Days and buy a ticket to the lunch, go to the autograph session. I mean, you're going to get all the coaches' autographs, the players' autographs, and have a pretty, I would think, enjoyable experience.
Sip, as a writer, we've talked about it here. We usually get that geeked up, fired up feeling when we get back from Media Days. Is that when it strikes you, or has it already hit you?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, kind of the way I look at it is the football season never really ends around here. You know, I don't know. We cover it so much that I don't know that it just one season runs into the other for me.
Mike, from the people you've spoken with from the other schools, Nebraska's fired up about it. Everybody's excited about a new start, and I think everybody's excited about no more Texas. I think that's what, if you asked anybody out there, there's no more Texas. There's nobody, no more 11-1 votes. What are the other riders from other schools? Is their excitement level the same as Nebraska's about having us in their conference?
Well, I think so. I think from a practical standpoint, you know, the people in the Big Ten understand how important that is as well to, add a 12th team, get that kind of symmetry in the conference, add a conference championship game. All the implications of having a 12th team and Nebraska having the tradition that it does. And, I mean, you see it right off the bat, the way the divisions were aligned. They identified brand names. Nebraska was one of those four brands. So I think people appreciate the addition of Nebraska as much as Nebraska appreciates the opportunity to, as you say, get out of the get away from Texas. And, you know, that decision looks better and better every day when we read about the Longhorn Network and all the implications that has. And now that, you know, there's some apparent unrest in the remnants of the Big 12. I say remnants, I guess 10 is a significant percentage, but it has become clear why Nebraska made the decision that it did. And that decision is, looks like a better and better decision as we go.
Sid, before we start talking about the Nebraska football team this year, are there storylines you're looking for in Chicago? Is there one or two that really stand out to you?
Yeah. The Ohio State storyline, the ongoing storyline, is very interesting to me. And also, it's interesting to me as it relates to Bo. I wonder how that situation will unfold as the season goes on, and I wonder if we'll get any insight into that this week. I think that's an ongoing storyline, especially if Nebraska is as good as we think they are. And then Joe Paterno is always interesting to me. He's a living legend. He's one of the few living legends that are still on the sideline. And for sure in the Big Ten, he'd be the living legend. And I don't mind saying living legend. It sounds a little like a sports writer being hyperbolic, but he is that. And so those two things are extremely interesting to me outside Nebraska. And then also, I'm very interested in Michigan and Brady Hoke taking over that program. It's a program like Nebraska, and it's so steeped in tradition. It's fallen off, but they have a great quarterback and a great offensive line and a new head coach. I guess I'm interested in Michigan. So there are some things beside Nebraska that certainly are interesting to me.
Besides the stadiums, Mike, what other historical factors will we see this first year, well, the first couple of years when Nebraska makes all these road trips?
Well, you know, if you put it in context, obviously, you go back to the earliest years of Nebraska football. Nebraska had an interest in getting into the conference that is now, you know, that became the Big Ten. So there's a tremendous history there from that standpoint, and Nebraska obviously has some history with the Minnesota, Nebraska has some history with Iowa. I mean, there are things that you bring to the table already that mindset was, hey, to be part of what became the Big Ten, originally called, I guess, the Western Conference, and before that, just kind of a generic name, that it was just known as the Conference. That kind of defined your program, that verified that you were a real college football program in the early years. So that significance for Nebraska, I think, is not to be lost on finally getting it done after 100 or so years.
Much great content on the Journal Star's website. When you go to their Husker Extra page, they've done a preview of every opponent, and now lately, Sip, you guys have been trying to go behind enemy lines and pick up one story from each school. As you've went through this, which one opened your eyes the most or was really the most informative?
Oh, Penn State is interesting to me as I look at the league, because I think they fly under the radar, and they're very young. They were very young last year, but I think they're pretty good. Pretty good on both sides of the ball. I think Michigan State flies under the radar a little bit. And their running backs are really good. They got a quarterback is extremely accurate. You know, he's over 70% completion percentage in the fourth quarter when at the key times. He'll be formidable. It's interesting as you look at these teams, really. And those two, and plus Michigan, because of their quarterback and because of the offensive line, what I said before. Now, their defense is just horrendous, and it's interesting to me if Greg Madison, the NFL defensive coordinator, can come in and help that defense. But, you know, there's a lot of things that stand out to me as I look back on those things. And I appreciate you mentioning them, by the way, Doug, because the guys do a good job on those things, and they're interesting. I mean, it's interesting. It's been interesting, really, all during the off season to look at these new opponents, it's kind of refreshing in a way to study up on a bunch of teams that we haven't followed that closely.
No doubt about it, Sip. And Daddy, I think this is one of the reasons that it's just very exciting, and we learn more tomorrow. And, you know, we think we know something now, but we'll have so much more different opinions, I think, or stronger opinions when we come back Monday.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And, we're just looking forward to meeting so many great people. We had so many great relationships established in the Big 12. We're looking to establish more in the Big 10.
Sip, Mike, and Sean, hold on. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more of the Husker Roundtable right after this.
The Summer Home Organization event is going on now at the Home Depot with low prices on the things you need to contain the clutter, like clear 56-quart totes at a new lower price of just $5.97 each. They're big enough to stow just about anything, and they're clear so you can see what you stowed when it's time to find it again. An organized home begins with a trip to the Home Depot and 56-quart totes for just $5.97 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
At the Fram Proving Grounds, failure is not an option. Because failure to trap dirt is not an option for your engine. That's why Fram filters are tested beyond any conditions you'll ever encounter, proven beyond any limits you'll ever push. From the Fram Extra Guard air filter to the Fram Tough Guard oil filter that traps 99% of dirt, Fram's tough technology helps keep miles of wear and tear off your engine. You count on your engine to run right, so it's counting on you to choose the right filter. Fram. Don't fail your engine. Find the right filters at Fram.com.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving, heading up the Mead team. Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm today with a high temperature of 92 degrees. Tonight, slight chance of an isolated shower or storm and a low of 71. Thursday, chance of scattered showers and storms continues, a high of 91. Right now, 81.
Back on the Doug and Daddy Show on this day before Big Ten Media Days. We're going to get back to the roundtable in just a second, but Daddy, we take care of all our guests.
Yes, we do. Well, we don't actually, but our friends at Burger King do. Burgers for breakfast, they've got them available all morning long. Icy Frozen Coke or Cherry Coke, all sizes now, just $1. Join them on Facebook as well, facebook.com/BK North. Two locations in Kearney to serve you. Also, Lexington, Cozad, North Platte.
We'd also like you to like the Doug and Daddy Show. Now, there's a Doug and Daddy page on Facebook, and then there's a Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation. Most of the information goes on ESPN Superstation. The Doug and Daddy was started elsewhere. You can join either one and like it, but all you got to do is go to our website, like it, because Facebook's right up front on ESPNSuperstation.com. So let's get back to the Husker Roundtable.
Doug, it's time to talk a little football. Sean, we have you guys on to talk about this year's 2011 Nebraska Cornhusker football team. All the questions seem to be on the offense. One place that seems to be a need for playmakers is the wide receiver position. Your thoughts on who's got to step up?
Brandon Kenny is your guy that, you know, after that, I think you're going to look at a lot of new guys. Jamal Turner and Kenny Bell both had great springs. You know, Tim Beck earlier this last week, thought they were the two bigger surprises to come out of the spring. I think they're both going to factor in. I think Tim Marlowe is going to be somebody that's in that rotation. He's a veteran. He's going into his fourth year in the program. But I think Bell and Turner have the chance to be kind of the big winners. I mean, I think those will be the two guys that you'll see out there with Brandon Kenny, and they'll go from there.
I want to ask you, Mike, if you can remember a kid coming into a season like Taylor Martinez is there any Husker in history that burst onto the scene and then still raised so many questions after that first year that you can remember?
Well, you know, I don't know that nobody comes to mind immediately, but, you know, times have changed. It's so dramatic now because of social media and all the instant media, the internet and everything that implies. So the attention that he's gotten is not... You know, in the past, there haven't been people that got that kind of attention. The one thing I wonder about Taylor Martinez, you know, everybody talks about his health and how he's going to adjust to the simplified offense. The question I have is, you know, teams now have had an opportunity to study him on film. You know, they can look into his tendencies and they can game plan much more easily than the early teams on the schedule a year ago when he had the fast start. And so I think one of the things is obviously his health is a significant factor. But the other thing is, how does he respond when teams have an opportunity to study what he does and prepare for him? And I think that's going to be a big key to his success this season if he can stay healthy.
Sean, how much pressure is on Taylor Martinez to get it done immediately so that the questions will stop, I guess, for lack of a better term?
You know, I think for him, he's done a good job from the sounds of the offseason of taking on that leadership and being a guy that gets after it with his teammates. And, you know, he's more mature. I mean, I think a year ago he didn't really know he was going to be in the position he was in, and now he's lived it for a year. He's been a part of what it's like being a quarterback. So I think going into year two as a starter, you're going to see him, you know, take some big steps. I think the biggest thing for Taylor, though, is those first three or four games, the Chattanooga game, the Washington game, the Fresno game, you know, the Wyoming game, those four non-conference games. He's going to have to come out of the gates fast. He's going to have to show people right away that he's back and he's improved. And, you know, I think if he can do that, you know, he'll have a lot of confidence going out to Madison for that showdown under the lights in Camp Randall. And I think those first four games, though, he's going to have to get back on that horse and prove to everyone that he can ride. And if he can do that, you know, we know how good this kid can be when he's healthy and operating at a high level.
Sean, would you please start at the left tackle position and go across the line on who you think will start the September 3rd opener versus Chattanooga?
You know, that's a great question right now because there's a lot of rumblings of some guys moving around and things that we haven't been able to confirm officially. But, you know, Mike Caputo will be your center. I think that's a done deal. I like Andrew Rodriguez at the guard spot. But you're hearing rumblings that Jake Cotton might be moving from tackle to guard, and he could contend and be a starting guard with Brent Qualley potentially at that right guard position. Another name to watch, left tackle or even right tackle, is Tyler Moore, the true freshman. He was here this spring. They love this guy, and I think he's going to put himself in a position to compete to be in the mix for a job. But, you know, I think right now with Jeremiah Searles and Marcel Jones and Yoshi Hardwick, those three guys will kind of battle it out for those starting tackle jobs. But there really aren't starters at this point. I think there's, you know, one clear-cut guy in Caputo, and then, you know, a lot of other guys fighting for those other four spots. And, you know, it kind of remains to be seen how they're going to shuffle around, who's going to play left, who's going to play right, et cetera.
Mike, I want to ask you about the offensive line. Can this be the strength of this offense this year, something that's really struggled the last two or three years in that Nebraska offense, been the offensive line?
Well, that's an excellent point. I mean, that's where the offense, whether Nebraska is able to transition to the simplified offense, how successful Taylor Martinez is, how effective those running backs are with Rex Burkhead, it all depends on that offensive line, how that offensive line comes together. And so on the one hand, you look at it as positive. Well, you get 10 or 11 guys that can rotate in there. That's good. On the other hand, do you have five guys that can step up and be that first group of guys? Because, you know, obviously you want to have the ability to rotate and keep guys fresh, but you also want to have guys that can assert themselves and be the guys that step up and take the leadership role and so forth. And I think the offensive line is a huge question mark. How these guys, you know, not only how they play, but how they adjust to the new offense. I mean, it's going to be not the same approach that they've had the last three seasons. Those guys are going to have to adjust as well. They had an opportunity in the spring, and one of the things that I'm wondering as we go into this season is where exactly guys are going to play. You know, is it going to be tackle? Is it going to be guard? A guy like Jake Cotton, is he going to be a tackle? Is he going to play guard? Brent Qualley, is he going to play guard? Is he going to play tackle? I think there's some uncertainty there. The coaches were very careful not to tip their hand as far as that was concerned. We saw a little bit in the spring game of how they might line up, but it's still uncertain to me exactly who's going to be playing where. But the experience playing in a particular offense for 3 years, in some cases for the veteran guys, and now moving to this new offense, how will the line respond to that? And so 10, 11 guys have the ability to play. That's good, but can five of those guys step up and lead the way?
So, Mike, the running back positions, everybody's know Rex Burkhead's a name that's going to be in Chicago, going to be front and center in front of the media. The people behind him, though, are the big question mark. In your mind, I don't remember people that stepped in and made immediate impacts as a freshman are going to be asked to. Can these kids, Aaron Green amongst them, step in and perform at this level?
Well, you hope that an Aaron Green can be an Amon Green, I guess. You know, Amon played as a true freshman and had an opportunity to the amount of time that he played, you know, was affected a little bit by Lawrence Phillips' off the field problems, but Amon was in a position to contribute right away, and that's what he did. Nebraska, I think maybe a couple of those freshman running backs, Amir Abdullah, Braylon Hurd in the mix as well with Aaron Green. I think a couple of those guys are going to possibly be a factor for Nebraska. And again, as you point out, Rex Burkhead is the guy. Obviously, he can do a lot of things. He's a very reliable guy, proven the whole bit. The leadership, he brings everything to the table. But the one thing that these freshman running backs bring to the table that Nebraska doesn't have right now is that breakaway threat, that speed. And all three of those guys have it. I think that that's one of those areas that how will this offense. How effective will it be? Well, it depends on how these freshman running backs come in and are able to contribute. And I think, as I said, I think maybe a couple of those guys could fit into the picture. They bring the speed. The question is how fast they can transition to the college game.
Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star joins us on our Husker discussion today, 12 teams in 12 days. To give us one or two guys that really got to come through this year if Nebraska's going to be solid at the running back position.
I think based on what I'm hearing, you're going to see Braylon Hurd and then one of the two other freshmen, you know, either Green or Amir Abdullah. I think, you know, like I said, I think you're going to see two of those three, if not all three. They like them, and they really, behind the scenes, make no bones about the fact that they're going to have to play. And based on what I've heard, I'm going to be watching Braylon Hurd pretty close now, right out of the gate. I think that's the kid that will end up number two. And then we'll see about Abdullah and Green behind him. Now, that's my, I say that with a certain degree of certainty, also knowing that, as you guys know, I'm right about 30% of the time, so be careful with that. But based on what I'm hearing, I think Braylon Hurd is the guy, I guess the best way to put it is the guy I'll be watching really close in August, paying close attention to what people are saying about him.
12 teams in 12 days, this final day, of course, previewing the Huskers before we talk to you live from Chicago tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Sean, you guys had a pretty interesting feature over the last month here on HuskersOnline.com. I believe it was the 25 most valuable or something like that to players or most important. You settled on Jared Crick being number one, which I thought was an interesting selection. We know that he might be the most decorated player on this football team, but from the talk, it sounds like there'd be a little bit more depth on the defense should he tweak an ankle or something like that. How did you settle on Jared Crick?
Well, he is the best guy. He's the key guy of this team. I mean, I think when you look at going into the year, Crick is going to be the preseason defensive player of the year. And, you know, in order to be successful in this league, Nebraska's going to have to be physical up front, and he's going to be the guy that leads that charge. And we saw how good Nebraska's defense can be when they have a pretty good defensive tackle like that, you know, in Ndamukong Suh a couple of years ago. And for us, it was really more the best 15 guys, and he was our number one guy, going into the team, into the season. And I think Levante David and Alfonso Dennard, I mean, you can argue Nebraska has the three best defensive players in the conference right now to build this thing around. That will be the strength of this team and really the key to carrying this team down to a Big Ten championship game.
Sean, since we're talking about Crick, who was the last Nebraska native, Nebraska kid to get this much preseason hype? I think Crick's getting more than even Eric Crouch did.
You know, that's a good question. You'd have to go back to Crouch. You know, thinking about some of those offensive linemen, like a Zach Wiegert, obviously he was from Fremont, and, you know, some guys like that. Dave Remington, you have to go way back from Omaha South. He was back-to-back Outland Trophy winner. But, you know, I think if Crick can match his output again and have another 9 or 10 sack year, capped off with a Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year honor and even, you know, a trip to win the Outland potentially, you know, you've got to put him up there with, you know, some of the best that have come through this place in a long time. And when you talk about the guys that have come through here like Grant Wistrom and Ndamukong Suh, if Crick can have a big year and, you know, lead Nebraska to a conference championship, I think you'd have to at least put him up in that groove. I'm not saying he's better than Suh or Wistrom, but I think you'd have to put him up in that sense with those guys.
Sip, wherever you're from in the state, you like to follow your local kids. Brett Maher is a kid that's going to fill in for one of the great collegiate kickers in the history of college football. We've had great kickers in the past. In your mind, is Brett Maher for sure the guy that will be handling these duties?
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, he's going to be doing one of them, if not both, kicking, place kicking and punting. I think Mauro Bondi will come in and push him, if not, you know, become the place kicker. There'll be a competition there. But I think Maher will be one of those things. He'll be the punter, the place kicker, if not both. I was really impressed by him in the spring game. But the key for those guys is not to come in and try to be Alex Henry, because that'd be like a someone coming in and trying to be Ndamukong Suh. It's just not going to happen. So, but I think he'll be fine. He seems like he's very steady. You know, the ball pops off his foot pretty well. He looked like he had some accuracy. It's going to be those guys, Daddy. I mean, Bondi and Motter. I don't think there's anybody else that would. Those guys are going to be the ones competing for it and probably playing it.
Mike, will this be Bo Pelini's best defense that he has had while at Nebraska? I understand you're not going to be able to replace individual players like a Suh, like a Makamura, but as a whole, in your mind, will this be Nebraska's best defense under him?
Well, you know, Carl Pelini said in the spring that it had the potential to be the best during his time there, and I think that's probably the only answer you can give at this point is that, you know, it has that potential. It's got All-America quality players at each of the three levels, and one of the things that Carl said in making that statement about the defense was that, hey, chemistry is a huge thing. He's seen teams that maybe didn't have quite the talent level, but the chemistry was great, had great leadership and so forth, kind of came together as a unit and was successful, whereas he's seen defenses that had the talent, had the ability, and maybe lacked a little bit in the chemistry area. And as a result, didn't achieve to the degree that everyone thought. But if you look at the potential, yeah, this defense has got it. And the other thing is depth across the board. That's another area that Carl Pelini talked about was depth. And we've seen what we've seen what Bo and Carl have done with this defense in the 3 years that Bo has been head coach. So, you know, to say that it has the potential. That's about as far as you can go at this point, but there's good reason to believe that it could be the best of the defenses in the Pelini still fairly short tenure, but that's a significant thing going into the Big Ten.
Sean Eric Martin's a kid that moved positions. Is he settled in at that defensive end position and ready to go and make some headlines this year?
I think so. You know, he was kind of a surprise coming out of the spring. I think everybody, you know, knew he had natural ability, but he never could latch on a linebacker. He just never fit the position or never really was able, you know, to emerge in the Big 12 at linebacker because it just didn't cater to his style. Well, now he's able to use that motor. He's able to keep his weight up where he wants it versus having to try to lose weight. And I think he'll bring that motor on the edge. And him and Cameron Meredith, I really like that mixture those guys are going to bring. But, you know, there's some other guys in the mix, Jason Anker, Josh Williams, then Joseph Carter. They have five good defensive ends. I think all five of those guys are going to have a really good chance to contribute this year.
Sean, I always have to play devil's advocate because Tony likes me to do that. If things were to turn, I mean, everybody, I haven't heard hardly anybody pick against Nebraska to be in the Big Ten championship game. If there was one spot where Nebraska could really be hurt at, what would have to happen for this team not to have the type of season that they are supposed to have?
Well, I think it would be on the offense. I think Taylor Martinez, if he gets hurt or he's limited or just struggles, that really sets them back. I just think there's a lot on him right now. And I think the offensive line, they need to gel and become, a solid unit. I mean, Sipple and I were joking. We've been talking about the offensive line being deep every August for the last 10 years. But by the time the season starts, only five guys play. So I think I'm going to hold back in saying this offensive line is deep and talented until they can prove it, because I've taken the bait every August and said this is a deep group of 10 guys plus, and by the time the games start, we've only seen five, maybe six guys play, and, you know, the depth, they get worn down by the end of the year. I think Barney's got to stretch this group out and find a way to utilize the depth better, because it's going to be a tough league for the linemen, and Nebraska has a great defensive line. I think to win a championship, though, they need to have that offensive line up to that level as well.
Sip, everybody's talking about how great. Is there any weakness on this defense?
The one thing that I think of when I think of, like, Denard Robinson, the Nebraska ends aren't just fabulously fast or athletic. Eric Martin will help that. But, you know, those guys like Dan Persa, the Northwestern quarterback, guys like Denard Robinson, obviously. Guys, I'm looking at the schedule now. Russell Wilson at Wisconsin. The fella at Minnesota is going to be a very mobile quarterback. Penn State, depending on which one they play, Rob Bolden is a stationary quarterback, but the other guy they play is more like Joe Gann. When you're playing those mobile quarterbacks, you know, sometimes I wonder about the speed on the edges for Nebraska in that defense. But Levante David helps that a lot. Levante David is going to cover a lot of ground, and he's going to clean up a lot of messes just because, you know, he's kind of a laser to the ball. And he's, you know, he's fast, and he tackles well in the open field. But, and then, you know, you got the one corner, that one other corner that, I just don't think you can be as strong back there as you were. It's good as much as I like Sione Evans and perhaps Green, the older Green boy, and a couple of those guys, Zaire Middleton, Dejon Washington. As much as I like them, I just, you know, you're losing some big pieces back there when you talk about Ama Kamara, and then, you know, even go to Dejon Gomes and Eric Haig. So I don't know if it's a weakness. I just don't think it'd be quite as strong there.
Shouldn't be any weaknesses, should there, Daddy? But, again, I'm always wary of anybody or any part of a football team or any team that's so much hype. You're not hearing any negativity about this, and you don't want to. But, boy, they're not perfect.
No, they're not perfect, and you're not going to replace first-round draft picks. Some of those younger kids are going to have to step up, embrace roles, and take on a challenge. But Bo Pelini seems to know what he's doing defensively, and he seems to put the pieces together in the puzzle, and he likes the athleticism of the defensive backs. I got to think that he'll take those guys over darn near anybody out there that they face.
Mike, Steve, and Sean all say that they'll hang on for one more segment. We'll come back on the Doug and Daddy Show and wrap up the final segment of 12 Teams in 12 Days with our Husker Roundtable right after this.
Whoa, I just got this ridiculous urge for Doritos pizza chips.
Sudden urge, huh?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like you're under a rogue hypnotic spell.
Yes, that crunchy pizza goodness. It's all I can think about. I'm seeing pizzas everywhere.
Maybe it was that hypnotist at Karen's party.
Mm-mm.
Remember, he convinced Karen she was a bear and she was attacking people for days.
Oh, that cheesy crunch. Oh, we need to stop at the next gas station.
Whoa, you're starting to act like a bear now, too, so you need to relax it.
Doritos pizza chips. The hunger you can't explain.
A Rhino Man is surrounded by an air of confidence and grill smoke. A Rhino Man carries an emergency set of seasonings, just in case. And a Rhino Man would never, ever grill with anything other than an always cleaned and always leak-tested Blue Rhino. So, what kind of man are you?
It's not just propane. It's Blue Rhino.
With over 45,000 locations nationwide, a ready-to-grill tank is always nearby. Visit BlueRhino.com.
Hello?
Jim, we need to talk.
Now? It's been a rough day.
Oh, you've had a rough day. Since you left this morning, I have been going in circles trying to raise your crops. You know, it's no picnic being an electric pivot. All this constant starting and stopping. I have needs, Jim. Contacts, fuses, micro switches, and U-joints. All things that require your attention.
Believe me, I know. I'm doing all that I can. I'm only one man, and I'm a farmer, not an electrician.
Well, just remember, you chose me. Maybe you should have chosen one of those need-free, hydrostatically powered center pivots from T&L Irrigation instead, and we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Okay, so we can't solve your relationship problems, but we do know a lot about making your irrigation life simpler. Contact your T&L dealer or visit T&L's website today.
Associated Staffing has immediate opens for some of the best employers in Central Nebraska. We have openings for first shift, second shift, and a wide variety of positions. If you have experience in manufacturing, come on in because our openings include machine operator, press operator, welder, painter, forklift, shipping and receiving, construction and sales. Stop in at Associated Staffing in Grand Island, Harney, or Hastings today.
Associated Staffing, your staffing solution.
Face it, it's hard to watch your second highest investment get that hell beat out of it, and you can't do anything about it. So when all hell breaks loose, call the Dent Popper, Kearney's only local paintless dent repair company since 1991. With paintless dent repair, not only does it cost less, involves no painting, and in most cases, it's done the same day, keeping the value of your car and saving you time. So when all hell breaks loose, call or stop by the Dent Popper for your free estimate, 2014 First Avenue on the Bricks in downtown Kearney.
But you put on quite a show. Really had me going.
Back on the Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation here in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth as we can't wait to board the flight and head to Chicago and take in the Windy City, and hopefully it's not too bad, but it's warm there as well. And Daddy, if you want to cool off, watch your favorite sports. They're even going to have ESPNU and BTN coverage of Big Ten Media Days tomorrow. You can eat, you can enjoy an icy cold beverage, and you can watch it all where?
The Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney, downtown Grand Island, both conveniently located for you. And tonight, Wednesday night only, it's Burger Night.
Burgers!
Big Burger Night. Any of the burgers off of the menu. Order a cheeseburger, a mushroom burger, a bacon burger. Even get the totally, totally legendary Jack Burger. All at the Chicken Coop. Hey, you want to get their texted special to you? The Homestyle Special of the Week? Text 28444. Enter PBA Coop.
Coney Dogs this week.
Coney Dogs this week. Enjoyed one yesterday, matter of fact. Great, great special going on. The Chicken Coop, not a bad seat in the house. Plus, it's all free. Just pick the right numbers at Keno.
As we preview Nebraska, Mike Babcock joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mike, for 25-plus years, you didn't have to worry about coaching changes with the University of Nebraska. Then in about 13, 14 years, there's been at least, I think, one change almost every year from an assistant or a head coaching standpoint. That's got to figure into what this offense does as well. How do you think the new coaches are going to affect this program?
Well, I think, you know, that's something that is going to be difficult to answer in the short term. You have to see how it plays out over a period of time. And that's probably one of the issues I look at in going into the Big Ten, is that Nebraska has a new offensive coordinator. And even though Tim Beck talked about how the offense was simplified, how they emphasized understanding the concepts rather than simply learning plays, there's still going to be a transition period there, I think, and simplification doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be easy to make that transition. So I think that's one of the areas that you have to consider with Nebraska going into the Big Ten, is how does this offense transition from what it was 3 years previous to what it's going to be this season. And again, the fact that the simplification was a key word during spring practice doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be easy to make that transition. And there are a lot of implications there. That's going to affect a little bit how Nebraska plays offensively, I believe.
Sip, Tim Beck drew some laughter, drew some applause last week at a speaking engagement in Omaha when he said that offense doesn't have to be that complicated or something to that effect. He's talked about how simple, really, the offense is going to be. Define what you think he means by that.
Oh, I think that what he means by that, Doug, is, for instance, I mean, they really took a long time. I mean, there's a lot of verbiage in terms of how they call plays. There's a lot of words behind their play calls. I know for a fact that that's got to be cut down. It's going to be simpler for the quarterback to spit out those words. There's not going to be as many of them. It's not going to be as complicated. You know, it's as simple as saying that the playbook is reduced. It's not as big a playbook. All the guys have said that. I just think that they're going to try to allow the guys to play relentless and not have to think so much. Just kind of turn them loose. What Beck said is he wants them to play with a relentless frenzy, like the defense does. You know, you notice about Bo's defense, there's not a lot of guys out there hesitating because they don't know what to do. Bo makes it so, you know, if you talk to Bo, and I noted this back in 2003, He doesn't like the memorization part of learning this stuff. He wants guys to understand it conceptually. So it's not a big memory game to him. You know, I mean, obviously there's a certain element of that. But I think we all, you know, those of us that went to school, and I think I went to school, so I kind of remember this. But if you remember things, memorizing things is one thing. Truly understanding them conceptually is a whole other thing. And if you understand things conceptually, you can react a lot quicker, not only as a football player, but just to things that come up in life. You don't have to, think too much. You just, if you understand it, you just react. So that's what I think Tim Beck's shooting for. Same thing that Bo's got going on defense.
Well, and finally, Mike Babcock, I know it's July. I know we're just getting ready to find out a whole lot more in Chicago. But as it sits today, your gut feeling, what happens with Nebraska this year? Are they playing in the Big Ten champion? Do you got a championship? Do you have a record in mind for these Huskers right now?
Well, yeah, I think Nebraska will play in the Big Ten championship game. I think Nebraska's in a good position to win the Big Ten championship and be playing in the Rose Bowl. You know, I look at the schedule. I look at the division alignment. The fact that Nebraska obviously has a killer schedule as far as the Big Ten is concerned. But the teams that in Nebraska's division, you got a couple of teams that have a new head coach. You've got a situation where I believe Michigan State has a new coordinator looking for some offensive linemen. And so I think that Nebraska probably has the advantage in the Legends Division, and I think Nebraska will get to the conference championship game. I think Nebraska will win it. But again, you know, there are a lot of questions to be answered before Nebraska gets to that point. But that's the way I look at it. I think Nebraska should go through the regular season 10-2. Now, where those two losses are going to come, I'm not exactly sure. But I think that would be kind of a minimum, I would think. Nebraska has the ability to go 11-1, probably has the ability to run the table, but that's not going to – I don't think that'll happen, again, because of the adjustment to the new conference. But I definitely think Nebraska has a great shot to be in the conference championship game, and if you get there, I think Nebraska has a good shot to win it.
Sean, is this team going to be playing December 3rd in that first championship game, and who are they going to be playing?
You know, I think when you look at the schedule, as long as they can get out of those first two games with Wisconsin and Ohio State with at least a split of 1-1, you have to like your chances to be in Indianapolis. But if they start out of the gate 0-2, granted those are not divisional games, I think that's going to be a tough hole to climb out of. But if they can get out of that initial gate at 1-1 and take care of business against Michigan State, the head-to-head games are big in the divisional race, so they just got to, beating Michigan State and beating Iowa and Lincoln and Northwestern, you know, those are your three really good teams in the division along with Michigan. I think if they can just take care of business there and, you know, survive that early stretch, I like them to play probably Wisconsin in that championship game.
Steve Simple for just another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we wrap up our look at Nebraska and our 12 teams in 12 days. Sip, it's December 1st. You're writing what about Nebraska? We're after Iowa. It's the week of the Big Ten championship.
I mean, I think we're writing about Nebraska in the Big Ten title game for sure. That's what I think. I mean, I'd be really surprised if they don't make it there. Now, I'm not saying they're going to dominate the division, but I think they can get there with three losses. You know, I think they'll probably lose two, and if they happen to lose three, I think they can still get there. So that's, let's face it, guys, Nebraska's defense is really good, and it's going to give them a chance against any good team they play. So, I mean, if the offense can round into form, fairly well, once again, it's just kind of the same story in my opinion. They don't have to be a great offense because I think the defense is going to be really, really strong. And I think on offense, that they have enough young talent that they'll be a little better. I just, it's just a question of how much better, and then who knows. But, I think their defense is good enough. And not only just personnel-wise, I mean guys that now understand the system, they're veterans in the system, and knowing that, those guys just know what they're doing on defense, the coaching staff. So, I think that Nebraska will be in that Big Ten title game, and I think that it'll be a close game, whoever they play.
Well, guys, I think you've given predictions that Nebraska fans want to hear. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, Mike Babcock, HuskersIllustrated.com, and, of course, Sean Callahan from Husker Online. He does our Big Red Report. Guys, thanks so much for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show today, and we will see you in Chicago. I know, thumbs up for all Husker fans and Daddy. I don't hear it. Did anybody pick against Nebraska playing out of all of our folks? Nobody picked against Nebraska.
One Michigan State. Our friend Andy Hamilton from the Iowa City Press Citizen, and maybe that
already throwing it out, huh? Already throwing it.
But let's be honest,
Merrick,
you know,
cross him off the list. No more Andy Hamilton.
I think that's fair enough with who Michigan State's got coming back. They haven't saw Nebraska. Those people, I think Nebraska's a popular pick.
Daddy, let's get into it. Before we go to Chicago, your prediction on Nebraska.
I've just got to think the offense is going to be improved drastically. And when I say drastically, I don't mean 45 points a game. But I think if you get 21 points a game, you win darn near every football game on this schedule. Now, the schedule's a brutal one. I'll give you that. I think Nebraska loses one football game. One football game. I wish I knew which one it would be. I hope it's not Iowa to end the year, because that'd sure be a Debbie Downer to come to Lincoln and do that on the day after Thanksgiving. I think they lose one football game. I think we see this team play December 3rd in Indianapolis, and I think they advance the Rose Bowl.
This football team has found a way to put themselves in a position with only a couple of losses until the end of the year. It's happened in two different ways over the last 2 years. It was not pretty the way that it ended last year for Nebraska, dropping three of their final four football games, and the way they did it against A&M, which you can say it was a hose job if you want, but A&M's going to be a good football team this year, the way they let it get away from them. I've said all spring, I've said all summer, it depends on the health. And another thing you got to look at, if Texas was able to find a way and they sold out to stop Taylor Martinez, Taylor's got to be healthy, because if you go to Breon Carnes or anybody else, Nebraska loses games, and it doesn't mean he's not talented. It's just easy to confuse a true freshman, okay? So Martinez has to stay healthy. We saw that last year. Secondly, can Tim Beck's offense and Rex Burkhead, he's going to need help. Burkhead's going to need help. Can they move the ball? The defense has to carry this football team. I can't see any of those first four teams being able to handle Nebraska's defense at all. It's going to be tough for Wisconsin and Ohio State. By the time we play Ohio State, they better have their horns out and ready to go. Everybody thinks that if Nebraska loses a game or two, it's going to be right there. You know, the logical thing is to be safe here and say that Nebraska is going to lose two football games. They're going to lose one of those, and they're going to get beat by somebody else because it's just too tough of a conference. But, Tony, for how many years have I heard that the Big 12 was tougher than the Big Ten? I'm afraid what happens to Nebraska is they might run the table and lose the Big Ten championship game, which would
be a crusher. It would still put them in the Rose Bowl, most likely. Not necessarily, I guess. It wouldn't necessarily put them in there because you'd have to think there wouldn't be two undefeated teams playing the Big Ten championship game. And if Nebraska lost, they wouldn't be going to the national title. Whoever beat it wouldn't be going to the national title. Right now, I'm going to say 10-2. I could see this team winning 12, but I just don't think the offense is good enough to go 12-0. So I'm going to say 10-2 right now. I think it's going to be darn near impossible to win at Wisconsin. That's got to be the toughest game on the schedule by far. So I'm going to go 10-2 right now, probably still good enough to get them in the championship game.
Fair enough. I'm 11-1. You're 10-2. I think, you know what, I think Husker fans ought to be darn excited with that record. And knock on wood. Knock on wood. Stay healthy. I just want to see them. I just want to see them play well, especially the offense. I just want to see it improve from last year.
We got to get out of here. We got
to
turn it over
to Merritt.
Our plane's coming up. We're getting ready to go. We got to get to Chicago. So as we get out of here, Merritt, fill us in on all the baseball and anything else that we missed because it was all Nebraska football talk. And Merritt, take us out of here, folks. We'll see you tomorrow live from Chicago, 11-1, here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thanks, guys. In the NCAA Volleyball All-Star Game, the blue team beat the red team 3-2. Local contributors for the blue team include Bailey Baxter of Grand Island Central Catholic with one ace serve and one kill, Bailey Moeller of Minden with one ace serve, and Carney Cool of Grand Island Northwest with six ace serves. Local contributors for the red team include Jessica Wojcik of Grand Island Central Catholic with three ace serves and one kill, Chelsea Ince of Ansley with two ace serves, and Steph Brand of Grand Island Central Catholic with four ace serves and three ace blocks. And the NCAA Softball All-Star Game is tomorrow, and Taryn Tosper of Grand Island will be competing for the red team. And in your American Legion baseball scores, in your Class A seniors action in North Platte, Grand Island led North Platte at the top of the ninth. When rain delayed the game, it will be made up at 2:30 this afternoon. The winner of that game will face off against Millard South at 4. And the B5 at Wayne Arroyo was a winner over Wayne to take the championship 4-0. And the B6 in Gothenburg, Broken Bow, defeat Gothenburg 9-2. They'll face off against McCook today at 5:30 for the championship. And the C6 at Ravenna, DCB, defeated St. Paul 5-4. SOS will face off against DCB today at 5. And the C7 at Alma, Hershey Sutherland, defeated Overton 7-6. That means Alma and Hershey will face off today at 5. We'd like to thank Steve Sipple, Mike Babcock, and Sean Callahan for joining us today on the Husker Roundtable. The guys will be live at Chicago tomorrow at 11. Catch us here on your ESPN Superstation 1460 and 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.